praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's gospel is centered on that ever-important theme of forgiveness. In St. Luke's gospel, our Lord had said this. He had said, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. In the parallel gospel passage which we heard today, taken from the 18th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, St. Peter picks up on these words of our Lord and asks for clarity. He says to Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Matthew 18, 21. And Jesus, as always, patiently corrects the apostle, saying, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Matthew 18, 22. In his response, Jesus recalls Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 4, when Lamech, who was a descendant of Cain, had killed a young man for striking him, and he had written a poem about it. Those who study the Bible call his poem the Song of the Sword. It was a song. Lamech shared it with his wives, singing this, quote, "I have slain a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold." Genesis 4, 23 through 24. So the Song of Lamech was a song of violence and of revenge. That's the generation of Cain, who was the murderer of Abel, a generation that celebrates and glorifies violence and revenge. Here in Genesis, in the form of an ancient song, whereas in our culture today, Cain's generation celebrates and glorifies vengeance and violence, also in music, as well as in movies and in other forms of popular entertainment. So Jesus tells Peter again, "I do not say you are to forgive 7 times, but 70 times 7, directly contrasting Lamech's Song of the Sword with a song of boundless forgiveness and mercy that is to characterize the followers of Christ. St. John would tell us that it is the children of darkness who glorify violence and revenge, while the children of light are those who glorify mercy and forgiveness. The word used in the original Greek text for forgiveness in today's gospel is aphemi, which means, in Greek, it means in English, it means I release, I let go, I send away, I do not demand that the debt owed to me be paid. That's what the original Greek word means. So when we practice forgiveness, we are releasing our right to hear, "I'm sorry." We're releasing our right to keep dwelling on the offense. We're releasing our right to hold on to bitterness or to get even. Forgiveness is letting go of the offender, as someone says, taking them off of my emotional hook, and, as it were, placing them onto God's hook. Forgiveness is dismissing the debt, you know, whatever debt that the offender owes to us. That doesn't mean that if a robber, for example, steals our car, we don't need to ask or try to get the car back. We can and oftentimes should seek that the criminal be brought to justice for justice's sake and also for the good of the community. But what it does mean is that I don't let the offenses committed against me become within me a source of bitterness, of anger, and resentment. And I need to have within my heart, within me, always a heart which is inclined toward mercy and forgiveness. When bitterness, anger, and resentment are within me, that does a lot of spiritual damage, not to the offender, but it does a lot of spiritual damage to me. We know that our Lord commands us to forgive, but we always have to keep in mind that whatever our Lord commands us to do, he does so for our own good. A lot of people will look at, for example, the Ten Commandments, and they will see them as a list of God telling us, don't do this, don't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. They look at the commandments as if they were a restriction on their freedom, on our freedom. Imagine, for example, a 5-year-old child who goes into the kitchen with his mom while his mom was cooking, and the mother tells him, "Don't put your hand on that burner, it's hot." And the child turns to his mother and he responds, "Mom, I'm tired of you trying to take away my freedom. I'm going to do what I think is right to do." Now, the child puts his hand on the heart burner, and we know what happens. He gets burned. It's the same thing with God's commandments. The reason that God gives us the commandments, the reason that he gave them to us, was to protect us. To protect us from sin, to protect us from harming ourselves, to foster good relationships with others and with God himself. Following God's commandments is the key to true freedom and true liberty, the freedom and liberty which belongs to us as children of God. And it's the same with the commandment of forgiveness. Forgiveness brings freedom first and foremost. It brings us freedom. Releasing our offenders also releases the control that they have over us, freeing us from being under their control. Unforgiveness is like a cancer which impedes our progress in life. Unforgiveness darkens our conscience and hardens our heart and even blinds us to the good of others at times. The parable which Jesus added after his exhortation to forgive 70 times 7 gives the justification for why we are to forgive others. And it's simply because God himself has forgiven us the enormous debt of our sins, a debt which we in no way, shape, or form would be able to pay without the sacrifice of Christ. As the Heavenly Father is moved with compassion towards us and forgives us the debt of our sins, so we too need to be moved with compassion towards others who sinned, who have sinned, especially those who have sinned against us. And we need to forgive them with the same spirit with which our Lord forgave his executioners from the cross when he released his offenders to the Father and cried out, as we know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23, verse 34. So in forgiving our offenders, we not only set ourselves free of anger, of bitterness, of resentment, but we also reflect the character of Christ who forgave from the heart. And this is what St. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, when he says this, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, and forgive each other just as God has forgiven you in Christ." In closing, the last thing I would like to mention is I think there, what I received, I've heard a good description of the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, which was given by a Christian counselor. Her name is June Hunt, when she talked on this subject, when she spoke on this subject. And I think it's important to keep this distinction in mind, the distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation, because forgiveness, as our Lord says, is always necessary. It's commanded by God. But reconciliation is not always necessary, and at times it's even very unwise. For example, we must forgive but not be reconciled with physical abusers, with rapists, with drug dealers, with people of the like. We need to forgive but at the same time protect ourselves from people who would continue to harm us and continue to corrupt our character, as St. Paul again says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Bad company corrupts good character," says St. Paul. This is the description that she gives regarding the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, because forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. And she says this, "Forgiveness, one, takes place only with one person. Reconciliation requires at least two persons. Forgiveness is directed one way. Reconciliation is reciprocal. It's two ways. Forgiveness is a decision to release the offender. Reconciliation is the effort to rejoin the offender. Forgiveness always involves a changing in thinking about the offender. Reconciliation involves a change in the behavior of the offender. Forgiveness is a free gift given to the one who has broken trust. Reconciliation is a restored relationship based on restored trust. Forgiveness is extended even if it's never earned. Reconciliation is offered to the offender because it has been earned, because it's been earned. Forgiveness is unconditional, regardless of a lack of repentance. Reconciliation is conditional. It is based on repentance. Forgiveness focuses on the offense. Reconciliation focuses on the relationship. Forgiveness requires no relationship with the offender. Reconciliation requires a relationship in which two people in agreement are walking together toward the same goal." So says June Hunt. Lastly, just remember that in the confessional, We are not only forgiven by God, but we are reconciled to Him as well. We are restored to being in God's grace. So if we still have any problems with unforgiveness, let's take a trip to the confessional and make sure that we get ourselves right with the Heavenly Father, and then we can work on releasing our offenders of their offenses, which they've committed against us. Forgiveness is the path to true freedom, because it's the path that Jesus Himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life, it's the path that He Himself has traced out for us. Praise be Jesus and Mary.